startups paying excessively high salaries is a real problem. You see somebody with just 2 years of experience, because he helped a team build a startup, is asking me to pay him 1.5 million naira. With what portfolio, please? The first thing that startups don't look at is the unsustainable financial model. We know that startups, they operate with limited resources and high burn rates. I can say that for a fact. And then paying excessively high salaries have caused strains on like cash flow and even reduced runway. Because let's be honest, a lot of these startups are either bootstrapping, or because they've gotten this huge sum from investors, they think they can pay high amounts of money.
Hi everyone, welcome to Modern Workplace Conversations, where we explore critical and often under-discussed topics within the professional world. Every week, we'll feature experts ranging from HR professionals to operators to lawyers and CEOs to provide you with diverse perspectives on workplace issues, trends, and best practices. One recurring question in the workplace is, how do I determine what I pay my employees? Or how do I determine what I demand from my employer? And that is the focus of this week's episode of Modern Workplace Conversations. Joining me is Princess Edokwai, the COO and co-founder of Sprott, a people, technology, and strategy solutions company that helps founders, team leaders, and enterprises harness data-driven innovation to create prosperity. We talked about the strategies that go into pay structure for employees. Talked about the challenges that employers face while trying to meet the industry benchmark for compensation. Princess gave pointers on how companies can effectively undo employee benefits. Let's get into the conversation.
Let me just tell you the backstory. I was speaking with a lawyer some few days ago, an employment lawyer, and he mentioned the fact that one of the ways employers fall short is that they do not really care about the welfare of their employees. And if they do not care about the welfare of their employees, they do not have any reason to care about their remuneration, benefits, and other perks. It just occurred to me that the issue of pay transparency, for instance, or pay equity is recurring. I spoke with an HR recently too, and she was making the case of when the company employs a foreign person, they would pay them more than their counterpart in the company on the same level in similar roles. And I'm wondering what's going on here. So I want this conversation to bring together all the things that have come to become pain points when it comes to calculating how much an employee deserves or what is ethical for them to be paid, and what the industry standards are, and what are the uniqueness with different industries. So you can just bring us in and help us to understand what it means to have a pay structure in a company.
In terms of having a paying structure in any organization, there are different factors that are going to be involved. And what are these factors that can influence whatever kind of pay structure you put in place? Number one is the market rate. In terms of rates for payment, I can tell you for a fact, because I work in the industry, that research industry standards and market rates, you have to always do that research. And one thing that can also help you influence that your research as well is for you to actually tailor that your research to finding out what are the market rates for the different roles that you have in your organization, what are the rates for the similar roles. And the reason why you do this research is to ensure that your offer is competitive. Everybody wants to offer a competitive salary. You don't want everybody's people poaching your team members, right? One thing that is very important that I have personally used is salary survey. I've used a salary survey to get compensation benchmarking to understand, okay, I have a few friends in this organization, I have a few friends in this industry. What do you pay your interns? What do you pay your analysts? So when you gather that research, you are able to benchmark, maybe get a middle way where you can pick salaries. So that is a way to build your structure. That thing that can actually influence the type of structure that you build is in terms of internal equity. My advice on internal equity is to, number one, maintain fairness. And you mentioned about doing the same thing and being paid different kind of salaries. So just maintaining fairness by ensuring that roles that are similar on the same level and with the same amount of responsibilities within the organization are compensated consistently. Not because this person is a man, I'm sorry to use that, is male, you are going to have to pay the person higher than the person is female. It doesn't work like that. There has to be equity internally. And this will also just help you prevent, as a business owner, any internal conflicts. Because one day, people have conversations with each other. The next person might say, this is what I'm earning. And then you are in deep trouble because you have paying this person because maybe the person is male or female. And it also ensures that you are leading a culture of fairness. everybody's acting inferiority. And then another way you can also benchmark on that thing that can influence your pay structure is job responsibilities and qualifications. I would advise that you, as a business, you always align the pay with the complexity, the skills, and the kind of expertise required of that kind of person, or the kind of like level of responsibility that person would take on, especially in a particular role. Job evaluation methods are a very good way for you to determine the appropriate pay for different roles. So you understand how the person's responsibility, how the person's role, skill or expertise actually fits that particular role. A very important thing that I cannot underestimate is the budget, because even if you are not getting revenue, and even like do benchmarking from today to tomorrow, and they are saying, oh, they are paying interns 500,000 naira, you are not even having 500,000 naira in revenue that you want to now pay an intern 500k. Do you understand? So what you now do, you ensure that the pay structure is sustainable. Don't do more than yourself. I'm speaking to startups. Do not do more than yourself. Ensure that the structure is sustainable within your company's financial constraints. So this kind of balancing attractive salaries with company profitability is very crucial, because when you end up overcompensating as a business, it's hurting you when you end up overcompensating. And I'll be very clear and I'm brutally honest, that is what has killed a lot of startups. One person coming, you are not making up to $1,000 in a month, you are paying one single person $800. Like, what's going to happen to other people on the team? And then I think the last thing I'll say is performance and experience, right? I always like to do that, because I think one thing I would like to say is that performance always influences promotion. Always factor employees' performance, their experience, and even their tenure to reward them. And this will not only help you like make them stay happy, they would want to stay more in the organization because they know they are appreciated. For example, at Spurt, right, we combine all of this, right? In fact, we use all of this, I'm speaking from experience, right, to ensure that we are competitive and fair. In fact, recently we just did a competitive benchmarking with current salaries, and we, to be honest, and this is a secret, but I feel like it's going to be in the open, we try to review salaries every year. Because aside from like equity, aside from company budget, aside from responsibility and qualifications, we also have to look at economic factors. A lot of things are happening. The prices of things are going up. We also have to consider that to meet the needs of people, because people work from home. They need to pay for internet, they need to pay for their gadgets. So a lot of things come into place when you're building your structure. And always remember to review your structure. It's very important to review your structure.
Thank you, Princess. We started out on a very good note, and you mentioned some very salient points, which believe that they are the ideal. But most of the times, things are not ideal.
True.
And we understand that this, let me use this word, anyhowness, cuts across not just the government. You can find it in many organizations. So now you've mentioned the ideal. Can you mention how companies are approaching pay, building up, do they even have pay structure? Because I believe you work with Spurt, would have done consultation for companies. You would have had access to how companies are run. So what have you noticed that companies do that is not the ideal that you've mentioned?
I think one thing I noticed that a lot of startups do is that they pay people based on the title that they are earning. Because somebody is earning the CEO, the person is now collecting 1 million naira monthly. Because someone is the CEO, so they get paid 500 million naira monthly, right? That is not ideal, right? It has to, there's something called ROI, right? Return on investment, right? There has to be that factor. But it's currently a lot of companies, a lot of startups are not putting that into consideration when building. In fact, like you said, there's not a proper pay structure. People pay based on this person has manager at the back of the person's title. So this person is supposed to be earning, they say this person is supposed to be earning 700,000. Not, and that manager alone, there is nobody on that is managing. It's just him, but he's a manager of himself. But as far as there's a title called manager at the back of his name or her name, he or she would definitely have. So that's one thing. Another thing that I have noticed is that people pay people based on, and this is not even payment, right? And I've noticed that people might start paying people the normal salary or the approved salary based on the approved salary structure. But because of favoritism, some people get promoted before some other. I've seen favoritism happen a lot, and I've gotten to question a lot of people's books where I'm like, okay, why is this person earning more than this person? In terms of performance, we can see clearly that this person's manager. And then we start hearing, oh, the person lost his mother 2 days ago, two months ago. And so we have, I know that is a very sensitive situation, but I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm going to sound insensitive, but that is not it, because it's a business, let's be honest. That is not a criteria for you to increase someone's salary. You might give a bonus, you might give a gift, but in terms of salary, that is not a criteria for you to give someone a pay increase. Lastly, another way that I see people pay people these days is that they pay people based on whatever they feel like. I've seen it. I'm sorry to call out some startups. They pay people whatever they feel like, that okay, they feel that as an intern you should be earning between 150 and 180. So I can, without any, okay, what is influencing your decision of that one? Okay, I have seen or I've heard, or when I started my internship at so place, this is how much you were paying me, and that money was big. Can you have forgotten that there are a lot of factors that are going to determine if the pay you are earning now is the same as what you were earning 2 years ago? 2 years ago, dollar to naira was about 500 or 400 and something, but now it's about 1.5. You cannot compare. I think people don't put all of this into consideration. They just pay people.
Okay, thank you very much, Princess. So you mentioned something about doing your research and working with data to have a benchmark you use for your pay structure. But I've come to find out that we do not really have like database for where you can find what other people are getting paid in other industries. Yes, going by the network you have, you can easily reach out to fellow HR people and ask them. But I realized that in Nigeria, for instance, we barely have a Glassdoor alternative. Coupled with the fact that we are not even, maybe it's our culture, we are not transparent about our pay, about salaries. Looking at all these things, do you feel that employers have enough data to work with when it comes to defining what the base point would be for paying somebody or what a person is really worth?
I will start by saying that if you as an employer want to be as transparent and as fair with your pay structure, data is everywhere. I was going to mention Glassdoor. Glassdoor is a very super interesting platform that I have used. I use it for my competitor benchmarking for Spread. And I have seen how people, and that's why I encourage people a lot to use Glassdoor a lot. Any company I work with, I always advise them use Glassdoor so that people can have that same idea. Because we are in the age where knowledge is everywhere, data is everywhere, right? You can't be hoarding this information anymore. There is actually not a database, in all honesty, but we have laws that kind of guide the way companies approach the pay transparency and even pay equity. For example, you and I would admit that there are, in Nigeria, for example, we have the national minimum wage mandate that states the minimum wage for workers. But there are still some companies that will still employ somebody that went through the four walls of the university and pay the person 50,000 naira. There are still people that do that. But there's already a constitution, there's already a law that states that, oh, the minimum wage is this amount. And then in terms of Labor Act as well, there's also something that prohibits like discrimination in pay based on gender or any other performance related factors. But you still see people, like I said, they still do, oh, because you are a man, you are a woman, because you are this, you are that, now using those kind of inconsequential metrics to actually pay people. And if we're even talking about globally, there are many countries specific law. For example, because I've worked with the UK and the US, I can say that there's a UK Equality Act of 2010 that talks about the pay for equal work. And then even in the US, there's also an Equal Pay Act that talks about, oh, this is how much you should pay at least women, this is how much you should pay women. And to be honest, these laws that have been put in place require that both men and women in the workplace get equal pay. There's data everywhere. There's Glassdoor, there's LinkedIn as well. We have LinkedIn as well. We have people, there's network. You can share yourself with people are in different groups. Data is everywhere. Now, let me tell you how easy it is to get data, especially when I like to get like primary data. So one thing we did 2 days ago, we're trying to get feedback from members of our consultant pool on typically if they were in our shoes, how much should they be paying for a particular service? Because we want to understand what industry standard states. Coincidentally, we got responses and people started saying, okay, this is how much I would typically charge for this service. So data is everywhere. It just takes you as a person to take that extra mile to actually go and source for that data. And don't be lazy. We even made it mandatory that, like I said, we made it mandatory that every single year we have a competitive benchmarking research that basically says, okay, this is what, and it's not about even about just going online and typing, oh, how much do people in KPMG earn? How much does an intern in KPMG earn? You need to ask people. You need to talk to people. That's why we have LinkedIn. You create surveys, short surveys that people can easily engage in, right? Share it with people. Oh, I just need your information. And let me tell you, these days, I've been a part of a community of startup founders, and trust me, they're willing to help you. Nobody's hoarding information these days. Everybody wants to excel. Everybody wants to be part of the next person's success journey. So if you're still hoarding in 2024, you're on a losing end. So data is everywhere, right? There might not be a consolidated database, but it is everywhere. I can get data from you. For example, you work at TechPoint. I can send you a survey and say, hello, Afemi, how much do you guys typically pay interns? And I've already gotten some data from you. I do that for four of my partners or four of my people in my network, and I'm able to get what I want. So data is everywhere, if I'm being honest.
Maybe it's not really everywhere for journalists, because we tried to build a database sometimes some 3 to 4 years ago. It was hard to get people to disclose their salary, even though it was anonymous. But I get your point, because founders belong to communities of other founders that they can leverage. So in that aspect, they might not really look out for consolidated database.
I want to add something in terms of transparency to keep people from being like shy or ashamed of sharing those, that kind of sensitive data. I would always advise you make those kind of surveys anonymous. Don't collect names, and make sure they understand that it is anonymous. And one thing I do in all my forms is always add a consent clause and say, you have given us this consent, it's going to be used for in-house research purposes only, it's not going to go anywhere, even though it's anonymous. So it gives them a double layer of, oh, I'm just going to share this and nothing.
All right. Yeah, thank you very much for that, Princess. Let's just talk about, sometimes people say, if they know better, they will do better. So can we talk about some of the challenges that companies have that makes them not to have standard pay structure, they don't have industry benchmark, they don't know what competitive salary even means? What are the challenges they face that make them to be in that situation?
The first challenge I will talk about is, let me just summarize it and say cost constraints. That's the first one. So, and this has to be with them being able to balance what the comprehensive benefits with financial stability would be. So cost against what is coming in, outflow versus inflow, right? High benefits for people are usually very costly. For example, you say you want to do an HMO for members of your team, and like I said, you barely earn about $1,000 a month. So how are you going to be able to do that for people? So I understand that cost is one of the major challenges that startups face and businesses face as a whole. A way that people can overcome this particular challenge should be around, I would say, just be compliant, right? Try and find the best balance. So one thing we did at Spread when we started, we started pretty small. The most affordable thing for us was to give people their access to a wellness program. So we partnered with a wellness organization and provided life coaching workshops for people and also therapy sessions for people. It was cost effective for us, and it was not like we're paying per head, we're paying as an organization. So it was very, so that's why you have to weigh costs against what comes in. Another thing again that people face in terms of meeting up with some of these, and this is from personal experience, we had a situation whereby we wanted to give people HMO in the organization, but people said no, they don't want HMO, they would rather we do 13th month. But yeah, because one thing we do at Spread is we thrive on feedback from our employees, because they are also our stakeholders. And the ability for us to be able to cater for that diverse need of different people was one challenge that we had to face. We then decided to offer not a one-size-fits-all. We then decided to offer like a customized way that people can actually assess these benefits or this structure, whatever it is I wanted to do. So one thing that I can say for sure that we did was that we gave people options. We also decided that, okay, we're going to divide the salary into two. We're going to do fixed pay and we're going to do variable pay. and the variable pay is going to be based on your performance, and then whatever is going to come out from as deduction is not going to come out from your base pay, it's going to come out from your variable pay. So those are the kind of structures, and we came to an agreement. We had a conversation because change management is also very important in this case, because it's not easy for people to adjust to change. That is also another thing. Another challenge that people face is lack of knowledge. They don't know. They actually do not know. They don't know what to do. So they just feel that, okay, this is the best practice. And in the past, we have not had best practices, you know, for like being passed down. So a lot of startup founders, a lot of HR managers, a lot of lawyers, they are learning every day. So lack of experience, ignorance, but they say it's not an excuse, but it's just the fact. We can't acknowledge that ignorance is one of the reasons why people get paid the way they're paid. I think another challenge I would like to talk about or mention is the challenge around not having a proper structure. Because once you have a proper structure, you would understand that if we are organizing a salary structure, whatever, it's not the intent that is supposed to be talking about it, right? It's not supposed to be the product guy or the product manager that is talking about how much they'll pay members of their team. If your organization has built the structure, that initial flow or that initial research will come from the C-suites, and then it will flow down to the managers and then the HR, and then they will give layers with finance and see if it meets like best practices. So there has to be a structure. If there's no structure, anyone can make decisions and suggest any peer. I think those are the challenges and people face, and that's why they're not able to build good structures in their organizations.
Yeah, that's valid. So there is this controversial conversation that comes up every now and then. The fact that startups pay people ridiculously high, such that when they are moving from one company to another, they sometimes job hopping is a strategy for increasing pay. So when they are moving from one company to another, they want a pay that's higher than the previous one, and then it becomes unrealistic when you get to your next company to be asking for that kind of thing. So I don't know if it is like a minus on the side of startups, because when you compare what startups pay compared to what corporates pay for the same level or years of experience, it is quite miles apart. So is this like a negative on the side of startups, or corporates should just find a way to measure?
So it is a big negative. It is a big negative because of a fact, and I think I mentioned it before, that startups paying excessively high salaries. In fact, it's not a controversial topic. It is a real problem. Yeah, it's a real problem that we have even experienced. You see somebody with just 2 years of experience because he helped a team build a startup is asking me to pay him 1.5 million naira. With what portfolio, please? So number one, I will just talk about the first thing that startups don't look at is the unsustainable financial model. We know that startups, they operate with limited resources and high burn rates. I can say that for a fact, because for the first 2 years that we started Spurt, I could see the burn rate because there were a lot of operational costs that needed to be covered. And then paying excessively high salaries have caused strains on like cash flow and even reduced the runway. Because let's be honest, a lot of these startups are either bootstrapping or because they've gotten this huge sum from investors, they think they can pay high amounts of money. And I will tell you for a fact, because personally I am pained. This particular issue has caused funding challenges for startups, because investors see these unsustainable salary structures as a red flag. And then they are now questioning your every move and questioning like, what is your financial management like? What is your future viability? And now, before any investor wants to invest, they'll say, okay, let me see what your team looks like. And then paying this high amount of money, they've now created this unrealistic expectation. Now, you are now paying somebody that 1 million naira with 2 years of experience as a CTO. Please, what is the minimum experience for you to be a C-suite? Let's start from there first. That is like junior level. So like, you're paying somebody with 2 years of experience, just fresh out of school, to be a CTO. I know they are geniuses, right? To be honest, I know they are like smart people that know their onion, that have been doing this since for a very long time. But please, let's be for real. You don't expect that person to now leave your organization and then go and collect 500k somewhere else. They would always want to up what they were earning before. And then, because they are now accustomed to the high salaries that they've been paying them, these people, or higher compensation, when they now get to their future roles, they will not be, in fact, if they are paying them 1.5, they will not be looking at 2 million, 2.5. And then in terms of job or hopping, it gives like these people short-term focus, because they know that, once this person has paid me like 2 million for the next 5 months, I'll start looking for a job that will pay me 3 million. If I tell them that they should pay me 3 million, don't pay me 3 million, I'm going to the next company that's going to pay me 3 million. And that's why a lot of companies, the relationship between them and their employees are transactional, and it's not supposed to be like that. There's lack of loyalty. You see a lot of people that will just immediately, I see a new job now that is paying higher than this, I'm leaving here. I'm just leaving here because I cannot be killing myself. And what are you killing yourself for, actually? Let's be honest. Doing Scrum, dropping updates, normal things, and you're working from home with AC and then I don't understand. And then in terms of company culture, it leads to misalignment of a lot of values, especially when companies don't keep their values in terms of focus. When they focus on high salaries, it attracts individuals who are more interested in financial rewards and not buying into mission and vision. They can even lie to get that job. They will lie, and then you get to start employing people that are not really a culture fit. And in at Spurs, I'll tell you for a fact, we look at culture fits and then what you are able to do over what I see as you being a CTO of 2 years and you are a two-time. In fact, the annoying thing I see now is that two-time founder. What happened to the other founders? Why are you here? Why are you here? So that, see, like, we are because the startup ecosystem is becoming very comedic by the day, right? I just hope that we can slowly get into our best practices, right? Yeah.
Also, how do we find a balance to this? Because it is what it is. The Nigerian tech ecosystem is probably in the second decade now, and this thing has been there for a while. How do we find a fix to this, especially when it comes to benefits and remuneration?
Number one is just follow best practices. Aim to be competitive against being excessive. Always have a comprehensive benefit. For example, it's not about just having a salary. You can also have a well-rounded benefits package, right? This could include like maybe health insurance, like I said, HMO, retirement plans like pension, and even wellness programs like I told you that we do at Spurt, right? And this just also helps you to not solely because when people, let me tell you the fact thing. You might be paying somebody 200,000 naira, but when the person has pension, has HMO, has a wellness program, can have access to the gym, automatically in the person's head, you are paying the person close to 300k. Because the money he or she would have spent on those particular necessities, you have covered for it as a company. You want to, so that's just a trick for employers. Then another thing again that you can also help in terms of, aside like balancing compensation packages, you can also like focus, have your culture focus on growth and development. When people see, and that's also part of having a comprehensive package, when people see that you are investing in them, are paying for their courses, they are getting certifications while working within them. Again, with all these benefits and you're paying somebody 200,000, it's almost like the person is getting 200,000 to get much more. And even though the person is going to leave sometime soon, the person would have gained value from working with you based on, okay, somebody started with you, has just one certification. At the end of the person is leaving with you, leaving your organization, the person is a chartered accountant. The person started off with one skill, and when the person is leaving, the person is leaving with 5, 6, 7 skills. That's another way for you to up your package. And these are the things you talk about when you are selling your employer brand. I always tell people to be specific about, to be particular about the employer branding. And then within your company, you need to build a strong company culture. Engage people, be transparent, always be transparent. Allow people to understand what the structure is, right? At Spurt, every intern knows, I can say for a fact that every intern knows what the next intern is earning because it is the same thing across board. The only thing that they might not be aware of is how much bonus is going to the next person because bonuses are paid on performance basis. But everyone is fully aware. If same thing with managers, same thing with associates. If, in fact, you can fully tell the idea because when we increased our salary the last time, we made everybody understand that, okay, we are increasing intern salary by 15%. We are increasing manager salary by 10%, increasing C-suite by 5%. So those are like the changes that can, right? And so just so you might ask me, why am I saying intern 15, managers and 10, C-suite 5? Is it not supposed to be the other way around? Equality, equity, there have to be fairness.
So we've talked so much from the side of the employers. I want to know if job seekers actually have enough information to negotiate a competitive pay. I don't know if that is a right mindset to think that you pay this person based on how they can negotiate, not on a salary structure that you have for that role. But that's by the way. But do you feel that job seekers have enough information to work with when they want to negotiate for a pay for a new role?
My answer would be yes and no. It's a very tricky one. Let me start with the yes. Yes, in the sense that you can do your research, you can use Glassdoor, and then you can have a fair idea of what their financial status is, right? When you do your research, like when I mean research, like meaningful deep research. Another thing again is your self-assessment. I'm talking about the yes part, right? Self-assessment in the sense that you know your skills, you know how much you're worth, you know the unique value proposition you're bringing in. So when somebody says, oh, for this role I'm paying you $100,000, you know how to negotiate based on your experience. And then another thing again is when negotiating, you need to understand what the full package is. And full package might not be just be the compensation or the salary that they're paying you. It could include like the HMO, the pension. People have asked me that question a lot of times when I even tell them that this is how much we'll be paying you, and they say, oh, please, I want to ask, does this salary come with bonus? Does it come with stock option? Does it come with HMO? Does it come with retirement plan? And all those things, I've been asked that question. Then they will now, that will now also help them understand that, okay, if it comes to these things, I think that's enough. That's what I was trying to explain to you, that when you're paying somebody $200K and you're offering all this benefit, in the person's head, the person's earning $300K because you've covered up for this cost. And then they also want to understand work-life balance. It's also part of the whole process. What is the work-life balance for? That will also help them negotiate that, it looks like if I take this your job, I will not have peace of mind. I'll be seeing you everywhere in my dream. So therefore, I need you to up my pay. Do you understand? If you don't want me to be sleeping, if you want me to be working 24 hours in a day, you have to increase. So those are the kind of things that can equip you as a job seeker to negotiate your salary. No, on the other hand, because some recruiters are very promiscuous in the sense that, tell me why you will put out a job ad and then under salary pay, you will now write to be discussed. Discussed that what? Because you want to interview the person and see if the person can speak English before you tell the person whether it has been a thing, and it's feedback I've gotten for people because I work with a lot of talent. We have something called STEP, Spread Training and Empowerment program, where we train a lot of trainees, and I've gotten feedback on, I've heard ridiculous comments about salary from a lot of the trainees, from recruiters. Some they will say, okay, what's your salary expectation? And then you read things like, so when they say, what's your salary expectation? Someone is, I will explain that, oh, I would follow what the budget. And as a recruiter, as a job seeker, the moment you mention, I will follow or I will go with the budget the company has, or I believe there's a budget, you are always going to be downpaid. You are always going to be downpaid. And that's why even when I'm interviewing people, I push, okay, don't give me a specific number, give me a range. Because sometimes I might put a job ad and I put, okay, the salary for this job is $350K. And somebody might say, oh, I saw it's $350K, but because of my experience, because of my skills, I don't think that, I've gotten that before. And then I ask them, what do you want? And then I get responses like, oh, I believe that they can up their budget. I'm like, no, we already have a budget and we put it out there at $350K. What is your price? And then I now encourage them to give me like, okay, this is the range I want, between 350 and 450K, and then we can find the balance. That gives you enough room to negotiate. That I feel like, to a large extent, people have the right resources to negotiate. They just have to know what they are doing.
Yes, and by the way, this question of what were you paid in your last job, or share a pay slip from your last job, what's your opinion about that?
It's not your business.
Then why do recruiters ask that?
I don't know. Except, and for me, right, it's common practice. Except a job seeker is willing to tell me how much they were paid in their last job to use as a benchmark to say, I want to get a higher pay. I don't push for it. And up till now, I still don't understand why on earth, even when somebody gets a job, you tell the person to bring 6 months pay slip. That has to stop. I'm fully against it, right? I'm fully against it because I don't understand how that is supposed to influence the person's performance in your organization. I am fully against it.
Thank you very much for that, Princess. So as we move closer to the end of this conversation, I'm sure we've been able to address this both from the side of the employer and from the side of the employee. One thing that has stood out for me is the fact that there might not be best practice, at least for the Nigerian market or the African market, but you can create one that is reasonable, scalable, can be sustained over a period of time and fit your budget. So we can end on this note where we talk about, where do we go from here? What trend are we trying to build going forward when it comes to salary structure, pay transparency, pay equity in the Nigerian or African workspace in general?
So one thing I would say in terms of trends, right, One particular trend I see coming up is people being paid based on their actual performance. People having been paid on based on milestones. Organizations having OKRs, KPIs, and the likes. That's where the workplace is going to. A time is coming where people will be paid based on their realistic goals, on the realistic goals that they have met. Another thing I see coming up is more transparency around salaries. Right? These days, I see people on LinkedIn, Twitter, talking about their pay structure, talking about the benefits that they have. And one thing I'm just going to advise every employer, every startup founder, every owner of a business, have a comprehensive benefits package. Salary is not everything. Salary goes a long way, but to help people feel included, have a pension, have a paid time off, have a wellness program, right? One thing we've done at Spurt is we have a period where you can go on leave for as long as you like, and you would still be paid for that period, but it has a maximum of 2 months. But within that 2 months, you can pick any duration from 1 month to 1.5 months, you will still be paid within that period. So those kind of flexibility in terms of benefits is what we are seeing. I mean, we are not perfect, but we are trying to mirror best practices, trends, things that would help us make our team stick. That's what we are doing. Because to be honest, I'll say it again that one size does not fit all. What will work for my organization might not work with your organization. For example, at Spurt, we work with a lot of Gen Zs. These guys are digital nomads. They are seeking remote work and flexible options for working. So we try to tailor our compensation packages and our benefits packages to suit them. So you also have to know thyself, know what you assess yourself as an organization, and then tailor it. So customization is the in thing right now for every organization in terms of salary, in terms of talent, and even just like continuous review. Try and be reviewing your package every year, big. The rate of dollar last year is not the rate of dollar this year. Try and review it. And that's why you have to start reasonably. Because if you start paying somebody $2 million, where do you want to start reviewing compensation from? Where do you want to start? So you start, so just start reasonably and sustainably, and then you can review over time.
Yeah, thank you very much, Princess. This has been a very interesting and enlightening conversation.
Yeah.
So our audience have learned one thing or the other from this conversation, and it will guide them in how they will approach pay and pay structure going forward. Thank you once again, Princess. And
thank you so much, Terry.